This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Century, doing something mean to it, do it better than anybody you ever seen, do it, screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it,
hey, I guess any superhero needs the same music, no one man should have all that power. Back on the Bernie and Sid show, on this Yom Kippur version, I'm here, Sydney's not. I wish my boy Sydney and the rest of my Jewish brethren out there an easy fast. Right now, I guess I would imagine most of my Jewish brethren are asleep because you don't want to be awake and hungry, right? Sleep it off. But anyway, my boy Kanye, I love this guy now. Man should have all that power. And good riddance to Florence. Hurricane Florence out to sea. We're going to have a great run of some wonderful fall weather coming up. Now, the month of September becomes palatable to me. September, I hate. September is as bad as January. I mean, it goes back to being a kid. You just have that feeling. It's back to school. The summer's over. The good times are over. The same as January. Back to school. The holidays are over. It just sucks. It has that feeling for me, always has, but now it gets a little better. And also I have to tell you, the holiday thing too. I mean, it would be nice to have a couple of holidays like my Jewish brethren do. The New Year's is a nice holiday, and Yom Kippur is not such a festive one. It's a day of atonement today, but it sort of softens the blow. We don't get that. We don't get that. That whatever, we should though.
Not as goyim, yeah.
Is that still a thing though? I mean, at this point in my career, I don't care. But I know back in the day, it used to be like, hey, how come they get these holidays and we don't get Good Friday? I don't know, the Italians, they don't get Columbus Day. We should get Good Friday and St. Patrick's Day. The Irish, the Italians should get Good Friday and Columbus Day. I mean, just to.
Celebrate a little bit. Good morning, Bernard, by the way.
Keep it all on the up and up. Hey, that's Matt Meany back from his little vacation.
What's up? Yes, back from Las Vegas.
Is that where you were?
Yeah.
Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You animal. I saw you tweet something. You're like strippers and lawyers.
Yes, so I can converse with those two. I don't know why.
You got bailed out of something. Something happened.
But it was a good time. And, we're back here.
Yeah, we're back. No Jilly, she's out. See, that's another thing. For example, Sid is sincere. He it really is. He loves his Jewish religion, ethnicity, all that. Jill is a complete and total atheist. I believe she's half Jewish or whatever. She's married to an Italian guy. And all of a sudden, during the holidays, I got to take off. We got to
tradition, right?
Yeah. I mean, come on, Jill.
She's taking advantage of that half Jewish.
I mean,
quote,
saying?
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. And,
whatever. It's like, God bless. I'm just jealous.
I'm jealous too. No,
that's all. I'm just
right.
Jealous.
And you said before you don't know if it's a thing because you've gone through it or whatever. You're older, but it is. No, I still get I don't get aggravated as I used to be when I was in school or anything.
So it is a thing.
It is. Yeah. No. Why? Like you're right. Why isn't Columbus Day? Why don't Italians have Columbus Day off?
It is a thing. Okay.
And St. Patrick's. I mean, St. Patrick's Day, the Irish should have off. Regardless if the holiday may be, not really celebrating Ireland.
Well, just to even things up.
Yeah.
At the very least. In any case, we don't. We're here. And I, like I say, I'm happy. I have plenty of time, a lot of time anyway, off over the summer. And it's all good. I got a nice, cushy job. I'm not out there driving a taxi. By the way, today is whatever you want Wednesday. You can give me a call, 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. I'm going to get to the Supreme Court fiasco that's coming. I got some heavy hitters coming on this morning. Anthony Scaramucci, Congressman Peter King, the brilliant columnist Rich Lowry, syndicated, of course, and the actor, the great Cuba Gooding, what's his name? Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes, he's a Bronx native as well.
Yeah, he's a Bronx boy. Do you call him Cuba or Cuba?
Cuba. I call him Cuba.
Cuba.
Yeah.
My boy Cuba.
Cuba couldn't Gooding Jr.
Yeah. And he'll be with us this morning. And so you have a few things. Bert and Ernie. Bert and Ernie, are they gay? That's like huge.
It is huge.
That's everybody's arguing, are Bert and Ernie gay? And it's always been these sort of gay cartoons. Like SpongeBob, I think, is big in the gay community. I mean, but they're cartoon characters, for God's sakes. I mean, first of all, why assign sexuality to any cartoon characters, period? They're kids' characters. Why assign? But then again, they assign, Wilma and Fred were man and wife.
Yeah.
So maybe there's that thinking. But when Jim Henson created the Muppets in 1969, I don't think he envisioned, I don't think it was necessarily a gay thing.
No. I think Bert and Ernie, I always growing up thought they were like brothers or cousins or, less, just
pals. They
were
roommates. They were friends.
Exactly. Roommates. They were always together. But to invoke that they are gay, you didn't see, I don't remember watching anything that, would lead me to believe they are gay on the Muppets or whatever, Sesame Street. Yeah.
No, they were just boys. In fact, it was created in 69, a year after the movie The Odd Couple with Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon was made. And they were sort of that type of relationship, just, cranky roommates.
There's nothing wrong with that. And what is it now? It's almost 40, 50, 60 years later now we're talking about this?
If anything, how about Snagglepuss? he was a little on that side.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he could have been.
Yeah, Oscar the Grouch. I mean, what was going on in that garbage can?
And Yogi Bear and Boo Boo.
There you go. They could have been gay.
And none of them ever wore any pants.
That is the truth, Bernard.
What's up with that?
I don't know.
Get some clothes on.
I guess, yeah, in the cartoon and puppet world,
but
people don't wear clothes that much.
You have that. And I don't know. Aaron Judge came back last night.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't get any hits, but it was good to see him back. The Yankees they staved off a Boston celebration for at least now. If the Red Sox win tonight, will they clinch the pennant? Now, is it or do they have to win? Would it have to be tomorrow?
I am not sure, Chris, Bernard.
I think a win tonight, they clinch the American League East, which means the Yankees have to get the wild card.
Okay, so it would be tonight that they could still. All right, gotcha. So anyway, boy, would I love nothing better than to sit down and watch the Yankee game tonight. Just do squat.
It's not going to be as good as 2004. That was snuff porn, as far as I'm concerned, as a Yankees hater.
No, that's true. That was snuff porn. You like snuff porn, Crash?
I've heard about it.
There's stuff to peel back in your brain. 1-800-848-9222. Whatever you want Wednesday. Ask me anything. Ask me about the Bernie and Sid show. Whatever you want to do. It's fine. But Bernie and Sid show is doing great, by the way. Ratings-wise, fantastic. You might hear WABC's not doing that well these days or after this past summer. But this particular show, we are kicking ass, folks. Just want you to know that. Let's go to Jim from Paramus. Jim, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. Good morning to you.
Hey, I just want to say there's no such thing as half Jewish. Like, if your mother's Jewish, you're Jewish. If your father's Jewish and your mother isn't, you're not. So that's kind of that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. That's why I consider myself Jewish. I mean, I'm not like Jill. I don't go to temple two times a year, but
she doesn't go at all. She is a bust out atheist.
Oh, she doesn't even go today? Like, she doesn't
absolutely
go to
not. No, but...
Oh, but no day off for her.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
we...
I love Jill. I love her.
I wouldn't change it for anybody, but to the point of, this adhering to the religious tenets of, of Judaism, she does not do, but gets a day off. And again, God bless her. I'm just happy. I mean, I'm just jealous. That's all. I'm just pissed off. I want some of that. Give me some of that.
And it's not like they even check. It's not like our, you know, program director's like, yeah, let me just see if you're Jewish. She just tells them they're Jewish, you know, and she just continues to take off. You know, so.
But it's all good.
It is all good. We're happy to be here. I'm happy to be back here.
Yeah. It could be a lot worse. And I don't know. I'm very, very happy. You're happy. You just had a five-day weekend. Of course you're happy. But listen, you know, this the Supreme Court disaster is out there also. And apparently this lady's not going to testify. This lady says, no, I'm not going to. They wanted to, it was going to be like this classic showdown on Monday. And, well, it's not going to happen. She says she wants an FBI investigation first. The FBI says no. There's no crime to investigate. We already looked into it. There's no crime and to investigate necessarily. And so we're at a standoff here. Now, the question is, do the Republicans have the votes to push this guy through, this Brett Kavanaugh? And a lot of questions, I got to tell you, lots of questions as to what's going on here. But that'll dictate whether or not they actually go through with a vote. If they don't, if you have a couple of these guys on the Republican side, like these guys like Flake and Corker, who just hate Trump's guts, they may have to postpone it. And then the Democrats, well, they get a victory. That's all there is to it. Billy from New Jersey, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Billy.
Hey, Bernie, listen, I love your show. I want to say something about President Trump, something good. And I don't think anybody's touched on it. It's about North Korea. You know, everybody said we should go to war, we should kick his ass, we should do this, we should do that. I'm 76-year-old, Bernie, and I got a 20-year-old grandson. And there's everybody in this country has somebody of that age, either a son or a grandson. And everybody should thank God that he took the time to negotiate with this moron so that my grandson and yours and everybody else's didn't have to go to war.
Yeah,
I think I've heard you say that, but I've never heard it from anybody else, Bernie.
No. Listen, good Lord, thank the Lord Jesus. First of all, he did the tough guy thing with Kim Jong Un, and they all said we're going to go. There's going to be World War III. We're going to be starting a nuclear war. What the hell is he doing? And then then he got it to the point where yesterday you had the spectacle of the South Korean president. Was in Pyongyang yesterday in a parade with Kim Jong Un. They're holding hands and praising the president. Billy, excuse me, Matt. Oh, let's go to Frank from the Bronx. Frank, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Frank.
Good morning, gentlemen. The other day, I read that at the Al Sharpton National Action Network meeting, the school's chancellor was quoted as saying, "Remember, we're not about improving the system; we're about changing it."
Yeah, this guy Carranza, right? He's a bust out racist. This guy, he's the guy that he hates the Asians.
But listen to that comment. We're not about improving it; we're about changing it. I don't know what else you could say to that.
Yeah, no, the guy. First of all, the guy he has a very spotty, shaky record as a school chancellor. This Richard Carranza, he floated around. He was the second choice. Remember, the first guy was picked, and then he said, "I tell you what, I don't think I want it." And then they picked this guy, and then he and de Blasio came up with this plan to screw my Asian brothers and sisters out of going to some of the elite schools. They want to do away with the test, and no test. Let's other factors we'll factor in, whatever it is. No test. Tried and true barometer for success, the tests that we have that are the same for everybody. They're no good. They're no good because too many Asians, too many Jews are making it into the high schools. And we don't want that. We can't have that. On the Bernie and Sid Show, 1-800-848-9222. On this, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. But we have, a spectacular list of guests. Anthony Scaramucci, Peter King, the congressman, my boy, my former congressman, and the brilliant Rich Lowry, and also the actor, Cuba Gooding Jr., on the Bernie and Sid Show, coming up in a little bit.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
It's a good song for kids.
Oh, yeah.
Mother, tell your children not to look my way. Tell your
I really do like this song. That's a wake your ass up.
Mother, can you keep them in the dark for a while? Can you hide them from the wedding world? Oh, mother. Father.
Danzig on the Bernie and Sid show. What I'm saying, some kick-ass ride. They don't make this stuff anymore.
Tony, when I was in Vegas, I went to a Marshmello concert. Oh, boy.
A Marshmello.
They don't make music anymore, I tell
Excuse
you.
Excuse me. A Marshmello conference?
Concert.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He's a DJ of some sort.
Okay, that's
Can
different.
I jump in for 1 second?
Yeah.
One of the guys in Danzig, Steve Zingreco, is a really good friend of mine.
No kidding?
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy.
Wow.
Yes, and you can sometimes see him over at Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey.
Dingbats.
It's a great rock club.
That's
Everybody
funny.
Who loves rock and metal knows.
And he still performs and he's half out of his mind?
No. Steve's awesome. They're always out on tour. I just saw them at the Paramount. I guess it was probably about 6 months ago. Yeah, they're great still.
My kind of people.
They're all
keeping
around the world.
Keeping it real.
Love that.
We need more of them, younger versions. Anyway, back again on the Bernie and Sid show. So, Bert and Ernie, we're gay. Karen from New Jersey, you're on the Bernie and Sid show. 1-800-848-9222. Whatever you want Wednesday. We were talking about Bert and Ernie being gay. Yes, I'm here, Karen. Good morning to you.
Hey, Karen. Bert, I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm a longtime fan.
Thank you.
Bert and Ernie from the Sesame Street show were taken directly from Bert and Ernie, the cab driver and the cop, in the classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Ernie was the cop, tall and skinny with the bushy eyebrows. Bert was the cab driver with the big ears, the wide nose, the big smile, fat, short.
I knew that, Karen. That's actually good. That's good trivia. I knew that. And I think it was Ward Bond was Bert, and he was the cop. Because if you recall at the end...
I thought Ernie.
No, because at the end, if you remember the line where, what's his name, Jimmy Stewart, he says to Bert, he says, my lip's bleeding, Bert, after he gets... He's talking to the cop at that point, and that's Bert.
Oh, I thought he was... Remember when he says, I'm going to punch you again if you don't leave me alone?
Of course.
I thought he was talking to Ernie at that point. Listen, I have a very quick question.
Yeah.
Why did you guys stop doing the Wilford Brimley Thanksgiving stuffing the turkey bit?
Well, the short answer is that Imus is no longer here.
No, he stopped years ago, though.
Oh, well, listen, what do I know? I mean, they just, I have no idea, Karen, honestly.
All right.
I do not know. It ran its course. Who knows?
A friend of mine laughed so hard he drove his car off the road. I just wanted you to know.
That was, on the Imus in the Morning Show, that was Larry Kenny, who voiced Wilford Brimley, one of the funniest men I ever met in my life. This gentleman, Larry Kenny, the voice of Bowling for Dollars and many other cartoons and commercials that you have no idea you listen to, and you're like, that's Larry Kenny. Yeah, believe it or not. And I'm going to take a break. 1-800-848-9222. Whatever you want Wednesday. 1-800-848-WABC on the Bernie and Sid show without Sidney on this, this Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur. I'm coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Making mischief happen every morning.
Bernie and Sid. Why are you listening to them? I have no idea.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC. And streaming on WABCradio.com.
Back in the Bernie and Sid show. On this very solemn Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. I'm not atoning for anything, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Yep, not me.
But and I'm not Jewish.
That too. But go on. But we love our Jewish brethren today.
Yes. And, we wish them an easy fast, is what you're supposed to say.
Easy fast.
Because people who adhere to this religious tenet of fasting for 24 hours, it's a tough haul. Can't drink any water.
You can't drink water?
Can I drink water?
Oh, my God.
It's not supposed to brush your teeth because you're putting water in your mouth or something like that.
Ugh. Okay, I did not know that. I just thought it was a food thing.
Yes, no. This ain't no joke, yo.
Right, so, yeah, okay. Well, let's go. Yeah, definitely, you know, pulling for them to get through their fast lane. Have a good fast.
So, yes, Bert and Ernie, Gay, give me a break. Let's leave the leave that stuff out of the kids' cartoons. I mean, you know, geez. It is four kids at Sesame Street. Just leave it out. It's a couple of guys living together. And, Snagglepuss. That guy, you tell me he's gay, I'm with you on that. So we're going to get to the spectacle down in Washington, D.C. regarding this Supreme Court nominee. A few other things out there. Julie Chen, I'm not coming back to the talk. Of course you're not coming back. Because the guy who put you in there, he's out. No, you're not coming back. She's like the Eva Braun of broadcasting, this lady, an enabler, and she's Exhibit A. She climbed that ladder because, well, yeah, she said yes.
Yeah.
She said yes, Les. Yes, Molest Moonves, whatever you want. And it worked. No, get her out. She enabled this guy. She knew what he was doing because she did it. She started hosing him while he was married with kids. So presumably he did the same thing to her, but she was cool with it. And they clicked. I mean, it's almost like Mika and Joe, right? If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, then there's a lawsuit and somebody's losing their job.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. Yeah. So screw her on this, whatever you want to talk about Wednesday, 1-800-848-9222. Whatever you want Wednesday, 1-800-848-WABC. Up in Dobbs Ferry, there was a New York City transit cop about 20, in 96. He killed a guy. This guy parked in front of his dad's deli in Dobbs Ferry, and the spot was designated for patrons only. Then he parks in the for patrons only spot and starts to walk across the street to a pizza joint. And the father runs out of the deli. He says, "You can't park in my spot." And they get into a big brawl. And the next thing you know, the guy who ended up getting shot, and I'll tell you by who, he was about to start beating the deli owner with a baseball bat. And the deli owner's son, who happened to be an off-duty New York City transit cop, he shot the guy dead. Well, they convicted him of, at the very least, manslaughter or maybe murder. And he was off to jail for a long time. They let him out for a little while because he appealed. But it was Judge Jeanine Pirro. She was the prosecutor at the time. People were very, very angry at her for this. They thought this was a justified homicide. Anyway, that guy's getting out. He's getting out in January. So, that happened. And also, you have this plan, this RFK, Robert F. Kennedy Charity Foundation, led by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They're going to actually bail out people in this city. They're going to come to our city and bail out people who can't afford their bail. And that includes violent offenders. They're going to bail out 16 and 17-year-olds. And they're going to bail out women. That's their plan. So, I don't know, a lot of cops, a lot of law enforcement people saying that's not cool because they're assigned bail in the first place. Now, I know there's a problem with bail. I understand that. But the law enforcement folks say, hey, listen, these people are a flight risk, which is why bail was imposed on them in the first place, among other things. And a high probability they committed the crime. They're a flight risk. And that's why they have bail. So now they have no incentive to come back because, well, if you know, Auntie Juliet didn't put up the money, and didn't put up her house so you can be out on bail while you await trial, you don't have an incentive to come back because you're not going to lose anything. Auntie Juliet isn't going to lose her house. And or your dad or your cousin or you are not going to lose any money. So anyway, people are, law enforcement people anyway, they're a little upset. Now, I am a critic of this bail system that allows a slob like Harvey Weinstein to waddle around town, this rapist, I mean, this guy, again, when there's a preponderance of allegations against somebody like Moles Moonves or Harvey Weinstein, action should be taken. And in this case, charges were made against Harvey Weinstein, of course. And yet he's still walking around. He's eating at the finest establishments, probably with Moles Moonves at times, like cavalierly. And some kid could have shoplifted a pair of sneakers, and he can't afford the $500 bail. And that's not right. When you have fatso like waddling around, and some kid, 20-year-old kid who made a mistake, $500 bail, he's doing 6 months in Rikers Island just waiting for his little, you know, his sentence. Maybe he didn't want to plead down. I don't know. There is some sort of problem. Anyway, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Mike from Monroe. Mike, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Mike.
Morning, Bernie.
What's up, Mikey?
Well, here's raise a glass to our kids who graduated Cortland.
That's right. No doubt about it.
In graduation ceremony, you know, wild. You know,
and screw Mike Ertz, but go ahead.
That's it. You know, you touch about so many things, Bernie, and I tune in every day. You know, why can't the Catholics have a holiday like you said, an Italian like me, an Irishman like you? Columbus Day, Good Friday, St. Patty's Day, of course. And you brought up that ski box, Harvey Weinstein, with you know, Bill Cosby, and now Les Moonves.
Yeah, Bill Cosby's another great example. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, another great example. Goes back five decades, you know, and it's just that's the climate we live in. And unfortunately, it's happening all too often. And, you know, I have a daughter. I have two sisters. I have nieces and nephews. And, you know, if that ever happened to any one of my family members, you know, I go ballistic, you know. And you know what? He's waddling around, Harvey, like you said.
Right.
And what a piece of garbage, right?
Somebody should kick him. But where are the social justice warriors on this bail reform? He's the personification. He is the poster boy for what's wrong with the bail system, that a guy like him with all these millions, they can give him such a little amount of money on the bail. And knowing what he has, I sound like maybe some sort of a half a socialist, but there should be some sort of proportionality. This guy should not be allowed to, knowing that he can afford easily. The money's falling out of his pocket, whatever it is he's on. A $1 million bail, the guy's worth about $50 million. I don't know. Sam from Westchester County, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Hey, how you doing?
I could be worse, Sam.
When the Republicans going to start fighting back in light of this, like you're talking about Bert and Ernie and stuff? With all the characters they have there in the Senate on that Senate Judiciary Committee, like Senator Spartacus and stuff, when are they going to start digging on these people and fight back?
I think they're going to... they're going to soon. We're going to see what happens. It's in flux right now. The situation is fluid, Sam. We're going to talk more about that a little later on. We got Anthony Scaramucci, Congressman Peter King, the brilliant Rich Lowry, and the wonderful actor Cuba Gooding Jr. on the Bernie and Sid Show all coming up.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
This is great. Maren Morris.
And a crisp new Benjamin for when you're here, then gone again. And a dollar every time I was right about you after all. Boy, I'd be rich.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show. Yeah, that's hot country, baby. Our sister station on the FM dial 94.7, the most listened to country station in the nation. It's the kind of stuff they play over there. It's good stuff. I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, be rich. All right, so got a great lineup this morning. Our friend Anthony Scaramucci, who was last out with Sidney at Rayo's last week. It was funny. Talking about how Sid was... Well,
watch your fingers.
He'll tell us about it later. Anyway, Anthony Scaramucci, a little bit later this hour, he's going to have some thoughts on what's happening in Washington, D.C., no doubt. Congressman Peter King, he's coming up on the show. Also, the brilliant columnist Rich Lowry and the actor Cuba Gooding Jr. He'll be on the show with us in a little bit. And, you know, Stormy Daniels actually has a book out. It's all about her encounter with the president. Back at, what was it, Lake Tahoe?
Yeah, Lake Tahoe, some
Lake Tahoe.
Golf outing or something.
Hey, she put the hoe in Tahoe.
Damn right she did.
And anyway, she's milking this for everything it's worth, obviously. But her enablers, I guess, over at CNN, they're all over it. Listen to Jake Tapper.
Lots of books claim to be tell-alls, but they don't follow through. Stormy Daniels' new book about her life? It's not that book. Wow, she tells all. From the details of her career in porn to, yes, being in bed with the future president of the United States and even being able to pick certain parts of him out of a lineup and then being threatened to shut up about it. All these accounts are in there. CNN has an early copy.
She was, by the way, she was paid to shut up and she took the money, $130,000. She signed a deal and she said, okay, I won't say a word. And then, I don't know, now she's blabbing.
She's writing a tell-all book about it.
And they're angry.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I don't get it.
So backwards.
Pop-up book?
But pop-up book. And then you have on that same segment, Jake Tapper, who is, I don't know, he's at CNN. When you work somewhere, look what happened to Joe Scarborough. He used to be a Republican congressman. Now this guy, he's a freaking loon is what he is. And he wants to be accepted by certain people. And he adopts a lunatic position, lunatic positions, I should say, in order to be accepted and to stay and keep his job. And maybe Jake Tapper is of the same mindset. I don't know, because he used to be considered a fair guy. But anyway, they obsessed over this particular book. Jake Tapper did, an otherwise respectable journalist. Anyway. In that segment, this is what his reporter said about that particular book.
She writes that her first sighting of Donald Trump in 2006 in his hotel suite in Lake Tahoe was shocking. When Daniels came out of the bathroom, she claims Trump was lying on the bed in his underwear. They had sex. She then describes his genitalia in great detail. His penis is distinctive in a certain way,
this
she writes.
CNN.
Proof, her attorney Michael Avenatti says. She is tired of being called a liar by Trump's people.
Hey, she was paid to shut up. I mean, everybody knows that she was in the room at the very least. Well, let me probably host her. I mean, that's... Anyway, the book goes on naturally, as you might expect. By the way, the number here is 1-800-848-9222. It's whatever you want to talk about Wednesday. 1-800-848-WABC. In the book, she disparages... you know, the president's genitalia and all that stuff and his performance. But look, at the time, you got to remember, he had a very hot wife. Not that I'm defending him. He probably stinks in bed, but I'm sure he didn't even waste popping, a boner pill on this flabby porno skank. But why should he? Why should he want to? He had a beautiful girlfriend, a playmate at the time. And this woman showed up. He was watching Shark Week, so he wanted to, 2 minutes. Let's get it over with. Let's do this. I don't know. That CNN would spend all this time. That Jake Tapper, of all people. I could see Anderson Cooper, those guys, Don Lemon or somebody like that. But Jake Tapper, to spend this much time on this woman who was actually, who took her kid on a tour of her strip appearances, put her on the bus.
It's a good mom right there. Good mom.
I mean, I don't know.
Raising
just,
her right.
Just something. Something ain't right.
No, that's ridiculous.
Something ain't right.
No,
it isn't. Now, as far as this spectacle down in Washington, D.C., you have this judge, Kavanaugh. He's nominated. We went through the hearings. It was ugly. the Democrats did all they could. I'm sure you saw about it, read about it, heard about it, whatever. You had Senator Spartacus, Cory Booker, the biggest whore in the Senate. He was spouting lies. You know, this is my I am Spartacus moment. Well, that wasn't true. He made a fool of himself. He's a buffoon, whatever. He's running for president. So they did everything to disrupt the hearings, to delay, to stop, because they don't have the votes. And the guy's qualified. And it went through all the hearings. But the thing is that Senator Dianne Feinstein, who I believe is the ranking minority on the Senate Judiciary Committee, she received a letter from, well, this woman claiming that back in 1982 or sometime thereabouts, Judge Kavanaugh attacked her. He was stumbling drunk, she said, and he attacked her. A friend was in attendance, tried to rip her clothes off. You heard about all this. Well, now they were going to have a hearing on Monday. They were going to say, okay, come on, tell your story. Tell the senators your story. Tell everybody. Tell America your story on Monday. Well, now she apparently has backed out from that. She doesn't want to do that. They're claiming that they want the FBI to investigate. The FBI has already looked into it and says there's no crime to investigate. The lady claims now she doesn't remember what year it was. She doesn't remember where it happened, how she got to wherever it was. I mean, it's just typical Washington, D.C. Nonsense. It's just why people hate politicians. Hate. And why didn't this Dianne Feinstein, of course, as you've heard before, no doubt, bring this up a long time ago? She interviewed this guy Kavanaugh personally in her own office, and then she had the hearings to go through to interview this guy, and never brought this thing up. Never one time. Not one time. Now, Hillary Clinton gets involved. She goes on TV last night with Rachel Maddow, believe it or not. Of all people, Hillary Clinton dips her toe into this attempted sexual assault. You could even call it an attempted rape. Now, remember who she's married to, but anyway, she talks to Rachel Maddow about this. This is, here she is, Hillary Clinton and Rachel
Maddow.
If he's
absolutely innocent of this charge, if this didn't happen the way Professor Blasey Ford says it did, and that is what Judge Kavanaugh asserts, do you think that the Senate is capable of giving him due process? Obviously, allegations like this there are lots of allegories for this and lots of times in politics. Your husband, when he was president, faced allegations that were not the same as this,
certainly,
but had connections to these kinds of old allegations from years ago. And I know that you had concerns at the time. Your husband certainly had concerns at the time that he never really had due process to defend himself from allegations like this. Have we learned anything over the years about due process, not just for the accusers, but also for the accused?
Well, I think that you have to take each of these situations, you know, sort of on their own merits.
Yeah, you do. What is Rachel Maddow talking about? It wasn't like this. Yeah, it certainly was. It was not only an attempted rape, it was a rape. It was a rape that all came out during the Monica Lewinsky thing. But anyway, Hillary Clinton going out to defend her husband. I mean, please. She was one of the enablers, as you know. It's just, I don't know, the hypocrisy, the stupidity, the tone deafness on the part of these people is just, it boggles your mind.
It's appalling.
It really does. It boggles your mind. And the woman herself, she's a professor up in San Jose, California. She's a professor of psychology. She can't remember anything. She didn't tell anybody at the time. And that's not okay, but she deserves to be heard. But these are facts. She has said this herself. And a couple of other things. She actually attended an anti-Trump march wearing a pussy hat. So, I don't know, does that change the equation? She signed petitions, anti-Trump petitions. Is this political? And why the hell did Dianne Feinstein wait? Now, Dianne Feinstein thinks now she might have been lied to. Listen to her.
I know she did not want to go public. That's why I didn't make the letter public, because I couldn't be assured of what would happen. And unfortunately, that was taken out of my control.
Okay.
Now, I can't say everything's truthful. I don't know.
Can't say everything's truthful, but certainly, look, I can say this. This this guy, Brett Kavanaugh, there's no pattern of behavior on this guy's part. And if he, let's say you have these couple of Republicans who they hate Trump Republicans in the Senate that vote no on his confirmation, and he doesn't get in, he will have this cloud hanging over his head for the rest of his life. And he'll still have it. Clarence Thomas to this day has that. I mean, he didn't receive any real due process either. They had the hearings, and he was confirmed. But still, people, I mean, they Clarence Thomas is synonymous with, harassing a woman back at a law firm that they both worked at.
And that's his reputation, right?
And that's what Brett Kavanaugh will have.
Yeah, unfortunately. Who's that guy that said that? Where do I go to get my reputation back?
That was Ray Donovan. Yeah. He was labor secretary to Ronald Reagan back in 1987.
So it's like you get labeled something, and then whether you are proven innocent or not, that's how you'll be remembered, unfortunately, right? I mean,
that's exactly right. So. And that's the sad part, because this guy Kavanaugh, again, no pattern, not a bunch of women coming out. This thing is out of left field, and something just stinks. But either way, that's happening now. Tony from Brooklyn, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Tony.
Bernie, Savage brought up yesterday the fact that Feinstein supposedly had this for over a month. Now, if you were going to trial for something and the prosecution had information that they didn't give your attorney, that's against the law. There's got to be something in the congressional rules and regulations that show that she screwed up. This nonsense about her not knowing, she was keeping it tight, that's all BS.
She could have kept the woman's name out of it and said, I have an allegation, let's talk about it, without naming the woman. She could have done that. I know that she claims that she was protecting the woman's identity at her request, but it just, the whole thing stinks that you would wait till the 9th to the 11th hour and then bring it up. And so, look, this little sneaky strategy could actually succeed, because they could very well not have the votes. You could scare off, you could give the Jeff Flakes, the Susan Collins, the Bob Corkers, the pretext to say, I can't vote yes. And Trump doesn't get his second choice on the bench. And this guy has a stain. His daughters now think, they're going to hear daddy did this to this woman, and that's why he couldn't get on the Supreme Court. It's a pretty awful thing. 1-800-848-9222. Bernie and Sid, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
You don't wait till the hearing is over and then all of a sudden bring it up. When Senator Feinstein sat with Judge Kavanaugh for a long period of time, a long, long meeting, she had this letter. Why didn't she bring it up?
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show, we're going to talk to Anthony Scaramucci. I'm really curious to hear what he thinks. Usually measured thoughts from Anthony. And he's coming up in about 10 minutes. We were talking about all kinds of things here on the Bernie and Sid Show. My boy Sid off for the very solemn Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Hope he's having an easy fast, he and his family and the rest of my Jewish brethren. But yes, this spectacle down in Washington, D.C. I did Bert and Ernie last hour, and maybe we'll pick it up again. But and the Emmys as well. The Emmys, a disaster ratings-wise. I mean, it was a Lorne Michaels production, which was why it was so terribly unfunny. But in any case, yes, the latest news is that the Supreme Court nominee, well, the woman accusing him of attempting apparently to rape her, She doesn't want to testify, so we're at an impasse right now. They don't know what's going to happen. The question is, will they have the votes? They want to vote. They want to get this guy on the court October 1st, before the election. October 1st is when the Supreme Court season starts. And they may not have the votes. They may have a couple of wobbly Republicans. And it'll be very curious and interesting to see how things proceed. Let's go to Dan from Long Island. Dan, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, pal. How are you feeling today?
It could be a lot worse. Thank you, Dan.
Listen, a couple of ways I'd like to attack this nonsense. First of all, there's in the last scene of the movie Gladiator, the woman standing over Russell Crowe's character says, is Rome worth one man's life? And apparently, one good man's life, actually. And apparently to the Democrats, the resistance is worth a good man's life, because this guy has lived a good life. There's nothing negative about him. And now at the 11th hour, they're going to bring up something. They didn't accuse him of robbing a bank. They had to pick something that's Me Too, that's politically damaging and will stain you for your life. If they said the kid stole candy when he was 18, everybody would laugh it off. So we have to come up with a shock crime, allegedly. And having been in the police department and investigated and taken reports, A, the victim does not get to choose the venue to which this is going to be. You come in, you make a report, and then the authorities handle the investigation in the manner in which they deem appropriate. You don't get to demand certain things. So this woman, the original letter, she didn't know what year it happened. She couldn't Right. tell you where it happened. She didn't know how she got home. She didn't know how she got there. Yada, yada, yada.
That's it. By her own admission, yes,
now,
that's right.
I obviously, I've never been the victim of an attempted sexual assault, even though I don't believe this rises to that level. But I was once the victim of a violent crime before I almost killed the guy. And I can tell you the time, the date. I can still smell the piss on 42nd Street. So I have a hard time believing any of this after, and 35 years later. But she's a civilian, and she gets to do whatever she wants. The true evil in this thing is Feinstein, because they thought this out months ago, and they decided that Rome was not worth one good man's life, that they would wait for the 11th hour, and they would ruin this man's reputation in front of his children for political purposes. Now, yes, I don't think the Republicans should have not voted on Garland, but they did not ruin his life personally and stain him.
No, that's what they're doing here. It does seem like an orchestrated smear job. When you consider this woman's history also, you don't want to blame or attack the victim, but she was at these anti-Trump marches wearing pussy hats, stuff like that. And not to be able to actually name the location or the year, how can a guy defend himself against something like that? I mean, it's just, so now she won't even testify. She doesn't want to face the cameras. This woman is all over the place. First, she wanted to remain anonymous, according to Dianne Feinstein. I don't know what the hell is going on. And now Dianne Feinstein says that there's not, that maybe some of what she says is not true. It's just a huge mess. And I don't know where it's going to go, but I'll be interested again to find out our next guest's opinion on the whole thing. Anthony Scaramucci, always with a measured opinion. And some good insight into all of these things, Washington, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. New Yorkers born and bred. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
Making mischief their business. 77 WABC and the WABC radio app.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show, without my boy Sidney, on this very solemn Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And Sid, of course, doing some fasting, trying to lose some pounds, some calories after his big meal with Anthony Scaramucci last week up at Rails, in which he almost ate Anthony's hand off, from what we understand, from what Anthony said. As a matter of fact, on the line with us right now, on the Joseph Abboud VIP guest list, is the aforementioned Anthony Scaramucci. Good morning to you, Anthony.
Hey, Mer, after watching him eat like that, he needs 7 Yom Kippurs. Get about 1 Yom Kippur, okay?
Yes.
But then again, this guy's got metabolism, so you know, I don't know.
He burns it off.
This morning, happy Yom Kippur. The traffic is at a bare minimum out there. I could do the traffic report for you. I skirted over to LaGuardia Airport in about 13 minutes from Manhasset, New York.
That is a bonus for us Gentile on these Jewish holidays.
Yeah, no question.
Hey, listen, Anthony, congratulations. You have a new podcast, I understand.
Yeah, thank you. Mooch and the Misses.
Yeah.
I'm being big-footed by my wife. She's the star, and she's coming at me pretty hard, Bernie. And so it's been a lot of fun, and I've been taking bullets. I'm wearing a bulletproof vest when I go into that studio to give that up. That podcast.
How do we get this podcast, Anthony?
You have to go to radio.com. You just download their app, and you just toggle over to Mooch and the Misses. Then you can subscribe. It's once a week on Tuesdays. It drops every Tuesday afternoon.
And no doubt she wins.
We did one yesterday.
She wins all the debates, that's for sure.
Well, Well, she wins the debates, and you may remember from our earlier conversations, I'm obviously a big Trump supporter. She is not a big Trump supporter. Uh-huh. She's anti-orange, and so you know it leads to a rigorous, contentious situation.
Sure, I can imagine.
Most conversations.
Interesting. Okay, well, Anthony.
All in good fun.
All in good thing. The Mooch and the Misses at radio.com. Hey, you know, before I ask you about this spectacle down in Washington, D.C., Anthony, you, of course, very successful founder of Skybridge Capital, co-managing partner, very successful Wall Street guy. Well, I wanted to ask you about this. He's been in the news a lot, and now the Justice Department apparently has opened an investigation into the guy who owns Tesla with the electric cars, and he's sending rockets to the up in space that half of them crash. Anyway, this guy, Elon Musk, who is last seen smoking pot with Joe Rogan, smoking pot. Anyway, he's being investigated. What do you know about he tweeted a claim, by the way, that said he had secured funding to take his company private, which may have been illegal.
Well, I mean, so there's a number of different layers of this. I mean, the first one, the guy is a brilliant visionary, and sometimes some of these brilliant visionaries have emotional volatility, and so he could be hitting a high note on his emotional volatility. He also has something in common with Johnny Depp. He dated Amber Heard. Tell you that Johnny came out of that situation not so good. It doesn't look like Elon's coming out of that situation so good either. You put a warning light there. As it relates to him, you know, he's in a little bit of trouble because what you can't do when you're in a public company is you have to have a uniformity to your information. There's a regulation that was put together maybe 15, 20 years ago called Reg FD, which stood for full disclosure. And so when you're in a public company, you've got to get out information like you're going to go private at $420 a share. And what's interesting about the 420 number, that's a pot number, right? You know, people smoke pot at 420 a.m. And so he's hitting a blunt hard on the radio. And so that caused the stock to drop. But this guy's a brilliant visionary. I know some of the board members there. I do not know Elon personally. I would never bet against a guy like this. He has the imagination of three or four people. He's a very, very bold guy, and he can get funding. One of the most unique things about the United States is that the capital markets in the United States will fund ideas. That's how Uber gets created, Google, Yahoo. You pick the business firm. If you've got a great idea, you can get access to the capital markets, and you can get action on your idea. And in his case, I would not be betting against him because he's built a charging station facilities throughout the United States. People love those cars. He's going to have some competition, but his problem right now is he cannot produce the number of cars that he has demand for. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I would stay away from Amber Heard if I were him.
Clearly, he's had a bad run.
I think that's where the air gag came off in his Tesla, going 45 miles an hour, and it was into a flat wall.
Yeah, apparently.
I wouldn't bet against him. As a Wall Streeter, I would not bet against him.
Okay, there you go. All right. I was just curious because I know you run in those circles, Anthony Scaramucci, on the Bernie and Sid show. Now, listen, down to this, again, this spectacle that we've been witnessing down in Washington, D.C., this Brett Kavanaugh, he's Trump's nominee for the Supreme Court, the second one that he would potentially put on the Supreme Court. They go through all the hearings, and they were going to have a vote on. They were supposed to have a vote tomorrow, actually, to the committee, the Judiciary Committee, to send it to the full Senate. And then Dianne Feinstein comes out and says, "Hey, listen, somebody told me last July that this guy back in high school, he attacked her." What do you make of this situation? And now it turns out, Anthony, that she's not going to testify on Monday, as presumed.
Well, listen, you know, I feel bad about these situations. They're cropping up throughout society. You know, I obviously have a mom and a wife and a daughter, and so I want people to feel safe in every situation. The flip side, however, is that you sort of got to get that information out early. To put somebody through this process on both sides, If that was known in July, it could have potentially affected the president's decision. It may not have. I'm not saying it would have, but it could have. And I also think it's unfair to the judge. He's had an impeccable sterling record in his adult life. And, you know, one of the things that Deirdre and I were talking about on the podcast yesterday is when is a youthful indiscretion or something that you did inappropriately 36 years ago, is there a statute of limitations on it? Does it ever leave you? Maybe the answer is no. I mean, one of the things I worry about, we're in a society now that's focused on prison reform. We're trying to prevent prison recidivism, and we're trying to find ways to normalize people that have gone to jail or have at least served their time in our society. But what do you do in a situation in the Me Too movement? Is it a permanent capital professional punishment where you're done for the rest of your career?
Yeah.
And so these are issues that we have to ask each other. One thing is she does not testify. I do not think it's fair to him as it relates to due process. The accusations have been made. He's denied the accusation. I think it's appropriate that if you want to try to stop him from being on the court, you got to get out there either privately, as Bob Corker said, you can speak privately to the senators or speak publicly, but you got to let people know what you know. It is a lifetime appointment. And by the way, Bern, I think the president has handled this aces. You know
what that's
I said,
right.
What I said yesterday when they were giving him the Metamucil yesterday, they probably turned it counterclockwise because yeah. He sounded about as normal as I've ever heard him sound.
And hasn't been tweeting.
Yeah, and hasn't been tweeting about it. And so, you know, however he got the Metamucil yesterday, they should continue to give it to him that way because he was rock solid yesterday. And I think what he believes is that there needs to be a fairness of the process. And if Kavanaugh gets in, I hope it drops and people move forward. But it's ironic. It's 27 years later since the Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas situation, and we're in the same boat. People want to go after each other super hard in our society now as it relates to politics. Yeah. We have little tolerance for each other's political views.
Now look, there's some of these guys like Les Moonves, Harvey Weinstein, there was a preponderance of allegations against them. In this case, there was nothing. There's nothing else against Kavanaugh. So can you imagine if, let's say, these wobbly guys like Corker and Flake, they decide, well, you know what, I don't feel comfortable voting yes, and Trump has to withdraw the nomination. This guy's life is changed forever. I mean, his daughters are going to know that he's not on the Supreme Court because of an allegation made by a woman who doesn't even remember what year this thing occurred or where. She doesn't has no details. I mean, that's a pretty horrible thing.
Yeah, I think it's unfair. And so she, you know, if I think one of the things that they've said is we're calling the vote. We're going to give you the opportunity to speak. If you're not going to speak, we're going to call the vote. If you step back and just look at his reputation in the judiciary, when he's been a judge, in his time with Bush 43, this guy deserves to be on the court. If you want to go back 36 years to an indiscretion that he made in high school,
maybe.
And we don't know. Yeah, exactly. We don't know if it's true or not. I sort of think that that's unfair. It smacks me that that's unfair. But remember, you know, I'm a conservative and I'm a Republican, and so a Democrat would say, "Hey, we got to stop the guy no matter what." But here's the bad news for the Democrats: you stop him. It's no problem. But you're going to get another person that looks and feels and sounds just like him, and at least we now have a pretty good sense for what he's going to do on social issues. We have a pretty good sense for who he is as a guy, and so I hope he makes it. You know, but. But Bernie, it's going to get rougher and rougher. My prediction is 10 years from now, the splits are going to be even more divided unless we can find some political leadership here that can heal it and create some kind of bridge.
Let's hope. Let's hope and pray. Anthony Scaramucci, listen, the podcast is called Mooch and the Misses. You can get it at radio.com. He's out at LaGuardia and ready to catch a plane, always on the go, Anthony Scaramucci. Yes.
Hey, God bless. Happy Yom Kippur to everybody.
No doubt.
But probably only the Gentiles are listening to us right now, Bern.
That's right. Listen, have an easy fast to all our Jewish brethren, and you have a great flight, Anthony Scaramucci, and thank you. On the Bernie and Sid Show, I'm coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show. Great guests, great stories, great moments.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air, on the app, on the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
German beer with a Cuban cigar in the middle of Paris with a Dominican bar. Great head on her shoulder. She probably studied abroad. She transferred to
back on the Bernie and Sid show. One of Congressman Peter King's favorite tunes, B.O.B., one of his favorite artists, and we thought we'd honor him with it. Hey, listen, this is another reason to hate September is the U.N. General Assembly. They're back in town. These America haters, these scofflaws, these wife beaters, they're here again. To do what? I don't know, to annoy us, to get in the way. Anyway, it's that time of year again, and it's just one of the worst times to have them here. Anyway, on the line with us right now, though, is a great American statesman. He used to be my congressman. He's a congressman from Long Island. He's on the Congressional Homeland Security Committee, and his name is Peter King. Good morning, Congressman King.
Bernie, how you doing? Listen, now you've been away almost all summer, so whenever I'm on the show, I'm on with Sid. And I actually wanted to raise a point with you a while back. I was at late July, that's how long it's been since I've spoken to you, at a run for my good friend Larry Elevich, who died years ago. They have a run on the boardwalk in Long Beach every year in his honor, and they raise funds for scholarship fund. And I ran into the daughter of Stanley Fleischman, who happens to be your neighbor.
Stanley Fleischman?
Yes. His daughter...
Yes.
It's your neighbor, whether you know it or not.
I know the name, Stanley Fleischman, but I'm not sure who his daughter is, to be quite honest with you.
She's your neighbor, and she tells me you're the worst neighbor in the whole world. What's going on? And she said you'd rather have Sid living next door to her.
Listen, I pick the empties up every Sunday night. I don't leave them out all week long. I'm good like that. And, yeah, we keep it down in the backyard. We're not bad. Okay. But anyway, you did a good thing with these folks.
No, they're good people. Anyway, listen, it's good to be talking to you, and guys, there's a lot going on in the world.
Hey, you know, the big question everybody is on everybody's mind is, and I want to get your opinion on it too, Congressman King. Do you think that Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street were gay?
You know, this is something we have to really have an inquiry on. I think the FBI has to investigate that.
That's right. We get the Homeland Security Committee on that. No, you know, tragically too, Congressman King, and you were involved in, you knew this woman. This Evelyn Rodriguez, who tragically passed away, her daughter was a victim of MS-13, and she was at the State of the Union last January. But anything new on that? I mean, no arrests so far. Was it just an accident?
That has really been closely investigated. I can tell you in like 20 seconds what I know about it. I got there right after it happened. Evelyn was a very, very good friend. She worked closely with the president. She was down there for the State of the Union. She was at his two events on Long Island. She sat next to him at the last one he had in May discussing MS-13. It was 2 years to the day. Last Friday evening was 2 years to the day that her daughter was killed, butchered to death with machetes and baseball bats.
Yes.
She was having a vigil at the location where the body was found, and they had set up a memorial with a large picture of her daughter, balloons, flowers, etc. And the vigil was going to start at 5:45 that evening, Friday evening. She was told that the people who lived in the house where the vigil was going to be, tore everything down. And so she and her husband were running over there to try to resolve this. When they got there, the owner of the house apparently had everything in the back of his SUV. And they were asking the person to give back the picture, give back thing. And they were yelling in the window. And with that, the driver took off, ran over Evelyn's foot, twisted her around, and she was crushed by the back wheel, which went over her at least one or two times. The question is, was it done intentionally? Was it done with criminal negligence? Was it a terrible accident? But the thought that this poor woman, whose daughter died in the worst possible way, exactly 2 years to the day after her daughter was murdered, she gets killed in what a horrific way to die, being crushed by an automobile within feet of where your daughter's body was found. It was just beyond belief. I don't know how much could happen to one family. I was with her husband last week, actually just 2 days ago, at his home. He's an amazingly strong person. The funeral will be this Friday at St. Anne's Church in Brentwood, and it's just horrific. But she was so courageous, so gutsy. Bernie, I never heard her complain once, even about what happened to her daughter. She never said, why me? She looked upon it as a challenge to her to go out and destroy MS-13, do all she had to do.
Yep.
Could possibly do. And she was very effective, very articulate, and a wonderful, wonderful human being.
Just sickening. Absolutely sickening. And yes, again, a memorial, trying to retrieve the balloons and stuff that just at the location, the memorial, the location, the site for the memorial. It's just horrendous. So, but again, no, they're still being investigated, essentially, is the bottom line.
It's being investigated. I don't think you'd see any decision made until after the funeral, at least. But I do know that the police are investigating. They have videotape of the entire thing. Channel 12 was there to record the vigil, so they were there when all of this happened. And they've only shown part of it on television because it's so gruesome. But the video apparently does show the car running over, or whether or not it ran over several times, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Whether or not this was done in panic, whether it was done maliciously, whether it was done negligently, it's just horrific. But it is being analyzed, obviously, by the homicide squad, by all the elements of the Suffolk County Police Department. They are on it. The district attorney's office, they are on it. And they'll probably, I assume, make a decision sometime in the near future. But I don't want to be getting involved in that. You have a great district attorney,
yep,
Tim Sini. You have a great police commissioner in Jerry Hart. So they will do the right thing.
Congressman Peter King on the Bernie and Sid Show. Congressman, the Democratic primary held last Thursday. Cynthia Nixon lost to Andrew Cuomo, as expected. Now, this guy, Mark Molinaro, he's running for governor on the Republican ticket. And I think the conventional wisdom is that the only way he has a shot is if Cynthia Nixon makes a third-party run. First of all, do you know Mark Molinaro? And second of all, does he have a shot?
I only know him to say hello to him. My daughter knows him very well. She's had a number of meetings with him. She thinks he's an outstanding candidate, would be an outstanding governor. I do think he has a shot. I think that, obviously, whether or not Cynthia Nixon stays in the line, there's a real division within the Republican Party between the what I would call more moderate-type Democrats, the progressives, yeah, who want to tear the party apart. So I would say there's a real division within that party, and Mark Molinaro can take advantage of that. He can point to the fact that so many businesses are leaving New York, point to the fact that they're spending in New York, all of these issues. And I think Mark Molinaro is in a very good position to raise those issues. And I think hopefully now the primary is over, the media will start focusing some attention on him.
Yeah, show the man some love. He is very impressive. He was in the studio with Sidney and myself just a couple of days ago. And, I mean, with the corruption, Andrew Cuomo's been dodging bullets left and right. And, of course, I mean, pardoning cop killers, for God's sakes, and sex offenders. There's got to be democracy in New York, and we're putting our hopes on Mark Molinaro, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, and by the way, Andrew Cuomo, his first term, maybe even into his second term, he was doing a pretty responsible job. Whether you agree with him or not, at least he's being responsible. The last year or so, ever since he saw he's being challenged from the left, he's just making a mad dash to the left. And for instance, when he says that ICE are thugs, they are the ones who are protecting the people living in communities like Brentwood and Central Islip. They are the ones going out, working with the local police, who want their support, by the way. The local police commissioner, the sheriff in Suffolk County, district attorney, they all want ICE in there because they are saving lives. They are rooting out these murderers, these killers, these vicious animals. And yet you have Andrew Cuomo calling them thugs. I mean, that's
outrageous.
Puts human lives at risk. That puts lives at risk. If ICE is pulled out, that is going to cause people to die in Nassau and Suffolk County.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it really, not only embarrassing himself, but it's just maddening as well. I mean, just what the hell is he thinking? And he had a comfortable lead in the polls, and yet still couldn't run to the left far enough, fast enough, embarrassing himself. America's not great, it never was great, or whatever it is. But anyway, Mark Molinaro, okay, keep hope alive, Peter King says, and on the Bernie and Sid Show, Congressman Peter King. Now, I moved, Congressman Peter King, to the spectacle in Washington, this nominee for the Supreme Court, Justice Judge Kavanaugh.
Right.
Now you have these allegations being made, and it turns out now that the woman who's making the allegations doesn't want to testify in front of Congress until she, as she claims, she wants an FBI investigation. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
No, I agree with Senator Corker, who is not a friend of Donald Trump, and he was not a strong supporter of Judge Kavanaugh. He's not a strong supporter. He intended to vote for him, but he's not that partisan at all. He said this morning that he thinks they should have the vote this week or next week on the nominee if Professor Ford, the woman in question who raised these issues, if she does not testify before the committee, either in public or in private, it's her option, then she's passing up the opportunity. And you can't be changing all the ground rules as you go along. When the Democrats have this information, they held it for months, and to say that she refuses to testify until there's an FBI investigation, it looks to me as if the Democrats are just trying to prolong and extend this and use what could have been a terrible situation here for partisan political advantage. The charges she makes, they're serious, they should be examined, and the way to do that is giving her the opportunity to come forward, either in public or private, and lay out her case, not to be just trying to delay it for weeks and months so that somehow the Democrats can block this nomination. It shouldn't be used for that purpose. I think that the charges are serious. We have no way of knowing if they're true or not. The only way you will know is to either have a public hearing or a private hearing where the senators can look at her in the eye. They can look at Judge Kavanaugh in the eye, see who they believe is telling the truth. And if it's in public, the American people can make that decision.
What if you have a couple of wobbly senators like Corker and Flake who just say, you know what, we have to have this FBI investigation or we're not voting yes? I mean, that could derail the nomination and really stain this guy's reputation for life.
You know, Senator Corker this morning, as I read his statement, he just tweeted out a few minutes ago, basically saying that if Professor Ford does not come down and testify, either in public or private, then the committee should go ahead and hold the vote.
Okay.
They've held out the hand, and she's not accepting it so far. Same with Jeff Flake. As I read his statement, he doesn't specifically say it should be a vote, but he was saying that that he has asked for this public hearing or private hearing, whatever they want to do, and Senator Grassley agreed to have it, and now Professor Ford is not coming in. So Flake seems to also be saying that they should go forward. If she doesn't come in and testify, that they should go forward and have the vote.
And lastly, Congressman King, Senator Dianne Feinstein's participation and behavior in all this and not bringing it up earlier. I mean, what do you make of that?
Yeah, this to me makes it sound like a conspiracy. And I'm not saying by Professor Ford. If she believes something happened, she had the right to bring it forward. She turned it over to, in effect, Congresswoman Eshoo and then Senator Feinstein, and they were handling it. And the way it's been handled, by keeping it secret, by dropping it after the hearings are over, and then after a hearing is granted, another hearing is going to be granted, to say that's not enough. It's obvious to me that she's using this, which could have been, again, a very tragic experience. I don't know. But to be using that and exploiting it for partisan purposes is really shameful, and that's what it appears Senator Feinstein is doing.
Congressman Peter King, always a pleasure and honor to have you on the Bernie and Sid show. On the morning VIP guest list, the Joseph Abboud Black Label Flagship Store VIP guest list. How about that?
I tell you, that is important. By the way, let me just say that. I know I take all religious holidays are very serious. Obviously, nothing is more important for Jewish people than Yom Kippur. But I just really feel for Sid today. If he's atoning for his sins, I don't know if he's ever going to come back to your show.
He's going to need a week and a half, you're saying. At least.
At least, I would say, certainly more than most. Even more than you and I would need.
Well, I will let him know that you think that, Congressman King. he'll actually be back tomorrow. He'll do what he can in one day. But anyway, Congressman King, we always love having you on, the Bernie and Sid. So thank you very, very much.
Okay, wish you a good yontif for me.
Yes, indeed. An easy fast for all our Jewish brethren out there on the Bernie and Sid show. Coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
This is my heartbeat song, and I'm going to play it. It's been so long, I forgot how to turn it up.
Up, 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 up all night long. Well, up, up, up all night long.
Sing it, Kelly.
You, where the hell did you come from? You're a different
I don't know. I really like this girl. I like her songs.
She's good.
Back on the Bernie and Sid show. Sydney's out for the, holiday, but it's a serious day. It's a solemn day. It's where they atone. So So we miss Sydney, and Jill's out as well, which is a scam. Yeah. The girl's a bust out, flat out atheist. I mean, you bring up religion and God, and the girl, like, she throws you vomit signals. And yet, when the Jewish holidays, oh, yeah, I got to take off myself.
See ya.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
It's not beach weather. Where would she be, though?
Who knows? In bed.
Yeah, right.
With,
like everybody else.
Her boyfriend, I don't know. Or sleeping. Or whatever. Whatever. Look, easy fast to all my Jewish brethren out there. And I got to do a shout-out to Dr. John Feeder. He's at Orland and Cohen out in Long Island. Dr. John Feeder, he worked on my wife, has a horrible situation, ligament tear in her heel, something called plantar fasciitis.
Ooh, yeah, basketball players get that.
Yeah, that's what she had. She's been a long-time tennis player. And, plantar fasciitis, and they had to do some work on it yesterday. He did it, John Feeder. And she says it hurt, but it's supposedly going to heal this plantar fasciitis. My wife, Carol, I wish her the best. She's in pain right now. But John Feeder, thank you for taking care of my wife so well at Orland and Cohen. He is a foot specialist orthopedist. So thank you to Dr. John Feeder. And, I got to tell you, Peter King, he mentioned that I was off all summer. I mean, give me a break. I took 1 week.
You took 1 week, yeah.
I took a couple of days and then 1 week.
Yeah. Now, you've been here. I guess people probably think that you haven't been here because you took that 1 week, whereas Sid and Jill kind of been, like, sporadic all over the place.
No, Jill took the whole week, too.
Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, Sid. Sid has been, like, yeah, been sporadic with his vacation days.
Listen, I'm so burnt out that as soon as I went on vacation, the following day, I got sick. I've been sick now ever since that particular day, 3 weeks. And I have never gone to the doctor, but it was fever and the congestion. It was classic bronchitis, maybe pneumonia. But I haven't missed a day of work. That's how I do. That's how I roll.
Grind it out. Grind it out.
I do grind it out.
That's what we do. You got to do it. You got to do it. So,
yeah. Let's go to Joe from Long Island. Joe, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Bernie. You take a week off, you got to pay for it for the rest of your life.
I tell you, it ain't easy, you know, Joe?
I tell you. Listen, Feinstein, she knew all along that this isn't true. She just wanted to create an arena of thought for everybody, which causes everybody to say, they're forced to say, well, you know, the right thing this shouldn't go unpunished if it really isn't true, you know, if it really is true, you know. So she creates that stall, you know. She knows it wasn't true from the beginning.
Right.
It's proven by being done at the 11th hour, or else it would have came up a long time ago, back in July.
Agreed. I believe it was calculated and a cheap smear on a good man.
But are we so stupid that, you know, all these senators have to say, well, you know, they shouldn't go unpunished if it really is true. It's like everybody knows that it's not true. Why do they have this mentality that they have to say the right thing? Well, you know, God forbid it is true, you know, we have to, you know, we got to think about this, which is might cause a couple of votes to turn.
And if so, this, like I said, if a couple of guys get wobbly, Corker and Flake, for example, or maybe Collins or whatever, and Trump has to pull this nomination, this guy's reputation, he's stained for life. I mean, it will really, really be an awful, you know, an innocent man. With that kind of cloud hanging over his head, it's a horrible thing. It really is. It's a horrible thing. And I think that's why she didn't bring it up in the first place. But I don't know. I don't know what happened at the end, why they did it. They had to do something. They had to foil the president who they hate, who they loathe. And that was the motivation behind it all, I believe. I'm going to talk to this guy, Rich Lowry. He's a brilliant guy. He's a columnist. And he'll give us some insight on that and many, many other things because, once again, he's a brilliant guy and a Yankees fan, a hurting dude right now on the Bernie and Sid Show. Coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk life.
They could have anything they want.
Talk now.
Give us a break sometimes. Life is hard.
It's my life.
800-848-WABC.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show. And this song is in honor of who, Matt Meany?
Well, it's New York Yankees winning. And we know that Rich Lowry.
Very good. I didn't know that you made that connection, but you're right about that.
And they won last night. And
they won last night.
I'm sure Rich is very happy about
it's
that.
It's still still not a good deal. Anyway, yes, on the line with us right now is a brilliant guy. He's the editor of the National Review, a syndicated columnist, and you see him on TV all over the place on the Sunday shows, et cetera, et cetera. His name is Rich Lowry. Good morning to you, Rich.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Rich. Listen, yes, you first of all, you were born in Virginia. How did you become a Yankees fan?
My father was a New Yorker and just a dyed-in-the-wool Yankee fan, so that there was never any option. And some of my most treasured moments of him as a father involved baseball and involved the Yankees. And 40th anniversary of the best game I ever saw, the Bucky Dent game. And I remember that year my dad told me when they were about 14 back or something like that, you know, I was saying, oh, they're out of it, it's over. It's like, no, it's not. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write down that you said this. I'm going to write down that I said this on a piece of paper and just wait. And it was one of those great, you know, fatherly moments when his wisdom turned out to be right. But what a season that was.
Yes.
The Yankees come all the way back, and people forget the Red Sox. They were down like 2 or 3 at the end, and they came back when they should have just been, you know, psychologically crushed. And then, of course, one of the best games ever played in that one game.
That's right. I remember that. And now things have turned a little bit this year. I mean, it was supposed to be really the Yankees' year, and now it's the Red Sox who were, 103 games won or something like that. And last night they lost to the Yankees, preventing them from celebrating, clinching the division in Yankee Stadium. But still, the Yankees not looking so good, though, Rich.
Yeah, I hate to say it. It's been the least satisfying successful Yankee season ever. You know, because they'll win, north of 95 games, probably. But it's just disappointing, given the expectations, you know, after they got Stanton, given the way they started, not quite out of the gate, but early in the season, and they had that 17-2 stretch. And unfortunately, kind of what was supposed to be the core, hitting core of the team has failed. You know, Stanton slumped a bit, probably overused. Judge is not his fault, but it was hurt. Bird is completely flamed out, which was my biggest disappointment this season. And Sanchez hasn't just regressed. I mean, he's fallen through the floor.
Yeah.
I think he has the lowest average of anyone with his number of at-bats in the major leagues. But you never know. Maybe they get a little hot. You know, they have a good bullpen, and that can take you a long way in the postseason. But we don't want to play Wild Garden Oakland, because I think it's a metaphysical certainty we'd lose out there.
Yeah, that would be tough. I mean, did Oakland win last night?
I haven't looked yet. Angels, I think. But
yes. So either way, they're about 2 games behind the Yankees in the wild card race. But Rich, we move now to politics, if it's okay with you. I will ask you about before we go to the spectacle that's occurring down in Washington D.C. with the Supreme Court nominee. You wrote a column about the blue collar recovery. It's not getting a lot of play in the news. But it's a pretty amazing thing to witness this, blue collar, this recovery. It's not just Wall Street, but it's Main Street as well, and will affect the midterms, no doubt.
Yeah, so it's finally reached into Trump parts of the country, the recovery. And it's just amazing. You look at the numbers for kind of roughneck, blue-collar-type jobs, you know, mining and manufacturing. I think mining's up 14% in jobs in the mining sector of the last 18 months. Manufacturing is up 2%, but that's a stark contrast. Those jobs are down the last 18 months of the Obama years, and there's some global reasons for that, like oil prices affects a lot. But those are the type of voters, you know, that Trump spoke to and said, I'm going to come help you, and these economic indicators are that's happening. I don't know how much it's going to help in the midterms, just because there's a lot of other stuff going on, but it should help and at least take some of the edge off what does appear to be a something of a blue wave.
Yes, and of course, wages as well going up. I mean, that's another indicator, another factor in the economic recovery that is always cited in the past, that wages are stagnant, but now they're going up. So, it bodes well, I guess, for the president and the Republicans in the midterm coming up this November. Now, down to Washington, D.C., this Brett Kavanaugh. You wrote a column in which you described, at least some of the headline writers, they described it as Kafka-esque, what this Brett Kavanaugh is going through regarding these latest allegations after the hearings have all been held.
Yeah, I mean, on the face of it, it just looks like an allegation that is unprovable, because you would need to know in fine detail you know, what happened 36 years ago to know whether, well, one, whether there's, we don't know whether there's any encounter at all, but if there was an encounter, you know, the details matter. And if it was just kind of a crude sexual advance, you know, when he's drunk 17-year-old, you know, that's forgivable, and we all have moments of regret from our teenage years. But it's just, it's deeply unfair, one, the process, the way it's been handled, and two, even if he's completely innocent, it's probably going to be, you know, what could well be just impossible for him to prove it. So this would be a stain on him, on his reputation, you know, a cross to bear for his family forevermore. Now, maybe the story is true. We just don't know. I will say that the sense I began to get yesterday from the Kavanaugh people is a high level of certainty that they think he will be completely and verifiably vindicated. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know whether it's some of the other people who were allegedly at this party saying that she was there and he wasn't, or what. But their confidence level is quite high. And the best scenario is just that we do somehow confirmably get to the bottom of it and the truth. That is what would be most fair to justice and most fair to both sides. And I, you know, at the moment, given what we know, I don't believe her and I believe him.
Okay. Well, now I would ask you this question, though, regarding the allegation. If they don't have, they're going to have to, she's not going to show up at the hearings on Monday, allegedly. Right. That's the report. So she doesn't show up, and then you have these couple of guys, these wobbly Republican types. They don't like Trump. You have Corker and Flake, and they say, listen, if we don't have hearings, I can't really vote yes. Then the president would have to pull that nomination, and this guy will have this cloud hanging over him for the rest of his life. I mean, that's a pretty horrible prospect.
Well, a couple things. One, I haven't talked to anyone about this yet today, but I just wonder where they might go through with the hearing on Monday with Kavanaugh. I mean, if he's completely confident, maybe he should just do that and just say, ask me anything. I'm completely innocent here and 100% confident of it, and I don't care whether she shows up or not. I'm going to go and clear my name. Or maybe that wouldn't happen, but in any respect, she's not going to show up. I think they should just go ahead with the vote. You know, they say that you need the FBI to investigate this. Well, one, the FBI doesn't, it's not like a free-floating truth commission. It investigates federal crimes, and there's no allegation of a federal crime here. Two, they say, oh, we need to evaluate the witnesses and the evidence. Well, you know, as far as we know, there are no witnesses and evidence. That's the whole problematic nature of this allegation. And, you know, they say she's getting abused and threats, and that's horrible, and it shouldn't happen. Unfortunately, it's just everyone on every side of our political debate experiences that. And her name is now on this allegation, and she should go and defend it under oath. And if she's not willing to do that, I think that's telling, and Republicans just go ahead and confirm Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, that they probably should, but it's going to play out. We're going to see what happens. But Rich Lowry, we are out of time, and I thank you, Rich Lowry, again, the editor of the National Review and syndicated columnist and avid Yankee fan. My condolences on the season. Rich Lowry, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks so much. Go Yankees.
Yes, on the Bernie and Sid show, I'm coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. This is Bernie and Sid in the morning. The new morning show.
Bernard has been a friend of mine for so long, and Sid, you too.
Making mischief every morning.
Well, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble.
On the air. On the app. On the web.
Now on Echo devices.
This is an honor. Great show.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Do it live!
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Back on the Bernie and Sid show. And this very solemn Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement for our Jewish brethren. We wish them all an easy fast. So we do. And on the line with us right now is a vaunted actor, very, very celebrated, very successful. And he's laughing. And believe it or not, this gentleman was born in the freaking BX, the Boogie Down Bronx. His name is Cuba Gooding Jr. Good morning, Cuba. That's what I'm saying right there. Hey, what? How old were you when you left? I know you didn't go to high school in the Bronx, but how old were you?
No, I left right before the first grade, so I'm
Oh. It was just a youngin. Yeah.
Do you remember the hood, the name, the neighborhood? You know, was it Highbridge? Was it Soundview? Do you know?
It's Soundview Projects. That's right, Soundview.
Oh, no kidding.
It's funny because, yeah, my cousin Keith Butler stayed there till he was in high school and then left, and we reconnected, and he became my stand-in in all my movies, believe it or not.
So. Wow. Oh, how do you like that? That's cool. That's cool. By the way, that's where I happen to be from, Soundview in the Bronx, my damn self. So we're homeboys.
That's right. We connected by blood, kind of. Like, we got a nose busted.
Something like that. Something like that. So listen, Cuba Gooding Jr., you have a new project out, which is, it's called...
Yes, sir.
It is called, what the hell is
Bayou
it?
Bayou Caviar.
Bayou Caviar, excuse me. And not only do you star in it, but you direct it as well. Bayou Caviar. And you have a couple of big-time names in it. Richard Dreyfuss, Catherine McPhee. Tell us about this movie.
That's right. Famke Janssen from the X-Men series. You know, I had these heavy hitters come play with me. It was one of my first time directing. And we shot it in New Orleans, Louisiana, 100-degree weather with 100% humidity on a alligator farm, telling the story a la, you know, Crash or Pulp Fiction, about a group of people who live down in the bayou, who are good people, but they get into a bad situation involving an incident of a sex tape, and they got to find their way out of a very bad scene. Involving themselves with a Russian mob boss. And, it was one of those stories that I really connected with. And, you know, they allowed me to write on the screenplay, rewrite the screenplay and direct it. And, we're really proud of it. And it's one thing when you work with these guys that are these old-timers like Richard Dreyfuss, and I've worked with, shared the screen with Dustin Hoffman and Jack Nicholson and these guys. You know, they search for the truth in every moment of the day, and if you don't have the right answers for them, you're in trouble. But we had a good time down there. We really did.
And that, of course, this marked your directorial debut. I mean, it's the first time you've directed a movie. I mean, is that...
That's right.
It must have been difficult, both to act and direct.
You know, directing... The key to directing is knowing the vision of the film, from the hair people to the costumes to the director of photography to the lighting guy. Everybody all day has questions for you, and you got to have answers. And this was something that I was passionate about, and I had the opportunity to work with people who were passionate about, you know, telling this story. And I got the bug now. I'd rather direct than act. That's how.
Wow. That's amazing. A lot of people, it's inexplicable to the layperson, but apparently it's a thing. It's an actual thing. Now, listen, go ahead.
Yeah, as an actor, you give your performance to the director, and then you wait a year until you walk into a theater and see what he did with it. And a lot of times, if the directors aren't up to par, you find that they didn't interpret it the right way. And being a director now and being given the opportunity to go in the editing room and not only influence my performance, but all the actors around me, man, it's a drug now. It's intoxicating.
Wow.
And it's something I look to do now over and over again. It's,
wow.
It's great. It really is a kick in the pants, and it's empowering to know that you can not only choose those takes that tell the story the way you envisioned it when you read the script or wrote the script the first time, but to continue to improve it with, you know, the composer and then the colorization of the movie. It's enchanting, and it's been a magical journey for me this past year.
Good for you. Very happy for you. Cuba Gooding Jr., the movie is it's Bayou Caviar. And again, he acts and directs it, and it's a thrilling story of sex, murder, and revenge set in Louisiana. Kuba, I want to ask you, if you don't mind, I would kiss your ass a little bit. You were great in Boys in the Hood and a bunch of other movies. But I want to ask you about, of course, Jerry Maguire. You were an Oscar nominee. You worked with Tom Cruise. And look at Tom Cruise still killing it himself in Mission Impossible. I mean, you began your career pretty much at a high level.
At the top, Now I'm here. Started at the top.
And now I'm here.
Started at the top. Yes, that's it. That's it.
Sing it, 2 Chainz.
The day after Bayou Caviar opens, come on down to the Ambassador Theater on Broadway and see me play Billy Flynn in Chicago. Chicagizzle. Killing the game on the stage.
Is that right, Chicago? Are you going to be...
I'm playing Billy Flynn in Chicago. Singing and dancing 8 times a week, 6 days a week, right there on Broadway. So come on down, everybody. Everybody.
What's our friend's name, Matt Meany? What's the actor from the Dr. Peterman from Seinfeld? What the hell's his name? He does the dog show.
Why can't I? Think
All right, we'll look it up. Anyway, we have a friend that's in that right now, and let me ask you about this. You played the people versus O.J. Simpson. You portrayed O.J. Simpson himself. Did O.J. contact you during or after that?
Well, I was when it came out, he was still in jail. So he got out and did a couple of interviews saying that he had no desire to participate in the limited series, but no contact at all.
Okay. But you were great in it. I mean, it was fantastic. It was gripping, and we all knew how it turned out. It's just...
Yeah, exactly.
And then also you played Ben Carson back in 2009, and have you communicated with Dr. Carson?
And Candy Carson and I talk periodically. His wife,
yes,
she's a remarkable woman. When I did that movie, he was on the set every day, and you know, you put your political beliefs aside. He's an angel amongst men. He was the first to separate Siamese twin infants who were connected at the hip, and I'll never forget that experience spending that time with him and that family. Truly a great family.
Yes, no doubt about it. So the actor in Chicago, by the way, we looked at John O'Hurley. He's my friend for we've known him a couple of years. He's in it, so you're going to be on stage with John O'Hurley, and he's a funny guy and a nice guy. But listen, let me just...
That's great. I can't wait to see him. Is he playing Amos?
Who's he playing? Well, we don't know who's he playing. We don't know anything here. All we know is that your new movie... We know your new movie is Bayou Caviar, Cuba Gooding Jr. And listen, it's coming out on October 5th, and it's great. That's you right. act in it, you direct it. You have, again, Richard Dreyfuss in it, Famke Janssen, right. and a bunch of other stars. And so we congratulate right. you on that endeavor and your resurgence and reappearance in the play Chicago.
Yeah, thank you.
Not at all. You sound like you're very happy. I like what I hear. I really do. Listen, Cuba Gooding Jr., thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks. You too, brother. Give Sid my best when you talk.
I shall. On the Bernie and Sid Show, we're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
The beautiful morning.
I think I'll go outside for a while. Just smile. It really is... I believe it's a beautiful morning out now. It's going to be beautiful, crisp fall days the next few days. If Bill Evans doesn't mind me intruding in his zone.
Yeah, I know. He gets pretty touchy about that.
Yeah.
If you go there.
But Bernard, shut up. Shut up. I'll do the weather.
Stick to the hosting, Bernard.
Stick to the cheap, stupid jokes. But look, you know what they're having today?
No.
I'm into big time. Is Conor McGregor's coming back. Look, the guy acted like a hooligan. He acted like a real thug. He didn't do my people any good. He wasn't breaking any stereotypes about, Irish drunken hooligans when he did what he did at the Barclays Center. But I will still root for him in any fight.
Oh, hell yeah.
Anytime he enters the octagon.
It's all right.
That's my boy right there.
Inside the octagon, it's fine, then,
yeah.
Conor.
Yeah. I did not come here to take part. I came here to take over.
That's right. That's a great
And guess
one.
What? He did. He did.
I mean, yep. He got in the ring in the boxing ring.
Well, he took over. That was his coup de grace. That's what made him the money. Which, unless he does something, keeps doing stupid things where people are going to sue the hell out of him. He's getting sued for causing injuries because of that Barclays Center bus thing. This Conor McGregor. But unless he does more of that stuff, he's good to go for the rest of his life, obviously.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And he's got he can make boatloads of money. The guy is still young and ultra-talented, tough as nails. Anyway, today he's holding a press conference. He's going to be fighting in 3 weeks, fighting this guy Khabib something or other from Russia. You try pronouncing his last name, but whatever. So they're having a big press conference at Radio City Music Hall, today, and it's closed. They say it's closed to the public, but then last night Conor McGregor tweets out that, yeah, if you bring two bottles of my whiskey, apparently now he owns a whiskey company.
Okay.
It's called Property Whiskey. If you bring two bottles and you show that to any of the officials and the security people at Radio City, you get right to the front of the line and you get in first. So either it's closed to the public or it's not. I don't know. But in any case, they're actually having a viewing event in Times Square on 46th Street.
Oh, really?
You can go up to 46th Street at 5 o'clock today and stand there with a bunch of other UFC fan hooligan
nuts
types.
Yeah.
Especially Conor McGregor fans.
Oh, man.
And watch the press conference, which they're always very, very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they trash talk, which is why I like the UFC. It's rough, tough, animalistic, barbaric, and that's why I like it.
Yeah. No, it's like boxing, I feel like, is a very technical sport, like, and it's just one thing, you're boxing, whereas you've got these guys who could be like street fighters, and
exactly,
you just pull them right off the street, and they got a mouth on them,
and they
ain't afraid to show, you know.
They got a mouth, right, but some of them are a real gentleman, and they don't engage in all this trash talking. But if you're getting in the ring with McGregor, he does have a beef with this guy Khabib, of course, they have a beef, but There's bad blood between the two of them, and they're fighting at a lightweight, 155 pounds. It's going to be great. 3 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah, October 6th.
Right, pay-per-view. And I know I'll be buying it, and I'll be looking forward to the clips. Anyway, I'm not going to go to the viewing party on 46th Street. Give me a break.
Oh, you're not going to get some of that whiskey?
I might do that.
Test it out. We'll have to test it out.
Get some Property whiskey.
Yeah.
And actually go up to Radio City. Yeah, go hang out with my peeps, my brothers. And see this wild press conference. Dana White, of course, will be there. He's a good guy. And so that's happening today. That's a big New York deal. A lot of people not into it, but a lot of people are into it. I mean, it's huge. It's the fastest growing sport in has been in the country for the past, I don't know, 5-6 years. And McGregor almost single-handedly took it to the next level with his antics.
Oh, yeah.
His Muhammad Ali-like antics.
Yeah, that's a big, you know, big guy to compare him to, but
it is.
He has changed the
culture.
A lot
of people be saying, oh, how dare you, but I mean, it's the same type of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
The same type of confidence. You know, it's funny, Conor McGregor, too, he looks like LeBron James. If you look,
you brought that up before.
Both of them with the beard, they look very, very similar.
You got to look at their jaw, and I think their eyebrows, and right above their forehead, they really have similar.
The way they walk, also. I swear to God,
the way they walk. All right, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. King James and the notorious Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to Diane from Long Island. You know, she called us. Diane called Sydney and myself a couple of months ago, and her son he had just joined the Army, and he was about to leave, and she was terribly upset. And Diane is back on the line with us right now from Long Island. And Diane, I presume you have an update on your son.
I do, although there's no communication. However, his platoon does have a support page, and I saw photos of him yesterday doing the obstacle course, and it's hot in Georgia. He looked hot. He looked exhausted. He's bald, but he looked awesome. And I'm proud to say I'm Army Strong Mom.
Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, it took a while, but I'm right there with him, cheering him on, sending him letters of encouragement, and I'm just loving this whole journey I'm sharing with him. And I want to thank you. You really knocked some sense into me that day, and I took your words of wisdom as usual, and I'm here to brag.
Good for you, Diane. Listen, he's becoming a lean, mean fighting machine.
Yes.
He's going to come back and look so good in his dress uniform.
I know.
You think you cried when he left. You're going to cry when he returns. And when does he graduate?
He's going to graduate December, and he looks strong. He looks massive.
There you go. Where is he? Fort what in Georgia?
He's in Fort Benning. It's primarily infantry, and it's a huge base. And I can't wait. We're going for family weekend in November. We get to spend 2 days with him.
Oh, looking sweet.
So forward to that. And I'm just so proud of our military, so proud of my son. And I want to thank you guys. And let me tell you, your show is remarkable. I'm off today. I work at school, so I was able to enjoy the whole show today. And, Bernie, I also ordered the mattress topper for my husband's birthday.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so he's going to get that in a couple of days, and I get to share it with him. So
you're going to love it, really.
I can't wait. I'm psyched.
The MyPillow mattress topper is, again, I've said it before, like sleeping on air. But thanks for doing that and heeding my advice on it. But more importantly, congratulations on you and your son. And one thing that these recruits, as I recall from my short time at the Paris Island, and I just read a book about another recruit, Assemblyman Kieran Lawler. He was in boot camp in 2000, and he says the letters keep the guys going. So
absolutely,
get his friends to write and everything.
Yes, we also have, it's called Letters to Benning, which a lot of these kids don't have family or people who really care about them. So we also write to soldiers in training who don't have the letters coming in. So us band together and write to various trainees that, you know, unfortunately don't have the mail, because that's what they look forward to, the mail. And it's an experience I'll never forget, and I'm sure he'll never forget. This is one photo of him. Oh, my God, I really did break down a little. His lips looked all sunburned with blisters. You know, the Georgia heat's just, I can only imagine. But he still had that gung-ho look.
You know what, Diane, if you hold on.
Yes.
Talk to Matt Meany. He's going to, if you can somehow send him that photo of your son with his name, and we'll post it on our Facebook and Twitter page, and I'd be proud to.
You know what? The only thing is, we had to sign a waiver. We're not allowed to share any kind of photos that...
Oh, the hell with that. Just send it. No, I'm only kidding.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I would love to. I'm not even allowed to share on my Facebook. You know, it's very private. I guess for security reasons.
We will wait then.
I know. But thank you so much, Bernie. You guys rock.
Thank you, Diane.
I got to experience, you know, this with you. And God bless our military. And
no doubt. You call us back, and good luck and Godspeed to you and your son, Diane. Thank you for the call and the nice words, and we're proud of you and your son on the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Live and local stories. Live and local guests. Live and local hosts. Bernie and Sid in the morning.
I'm sure you know those brothers, two white brothers.
All right, Bernie and Sid.
On the air, on the app, 77 WABC.
Said her first sighting of Donald Trump in 2006 in his hotel suite in Lake Tahoe was shocking. When Daniels came out of the bathroom, she claims Trump was lying on the bed in his underwear. They had sex. She then describes his genitalia in great detail. His penis is distinctive in a certain way, she writes. Proof, her attorney Michael Avenatti says, she is tired of being called a liar by Trump's people.
Back in the Bernie and Sid Show. So Stormy Daniels has a book out. Matt, we gotta get Jill on this case right now. She's using her phone. She's not she's an atheist.
Yeah.
I know it's a holiday, but she's let's get on this Stormy Daniels thing.
Yeah, we gotta get her booked on here. No doubt about that.
That too. Hey, listen, so CNN did a whole segment on this book, and she really tears into the president, not surprisingly. She said his performance was horrible and blah, blah, blah. But look, at the time, he had a hot wife, he had a hot girlfriend, the Playboy playmate, and you had this, this older porno lady is in the room. And with all due respect to Stormy Daniels, and she ain't no Brandy Love or Kendra Lust. I mean, I'm sure he didn't even waste a boner pill on her. He was watching Shark Week. He wanted to get back to Shark Week. So it was a quick hit, and see you later.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. Anyway, I'd like to get her on.
Yeah, we'll get her on, and we'll that'll be great to have her on. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could.
It would be. It'll go better than it did with Omarosa.
Okay, yeah.
And you know the other thing. What? Why is you like this Avenatti and the story? They're so angry. I mean, She got paid. She got paid $130,000 to be quiet. Now she's writing a book, and they're mad.
She didn't. She got the money, even though she was not quiet, and now she's got this book, and she had that whole tour she was doing.
And they're supposedly angry. They broke the agreement.
Yeah, they're making her relevant. Like, they're trying to make her relevant again, and they've done a good job of it, I guess, but it is, like, ridiculous.
It was funny. Jake Tapper, of all people, on CNN yesterday doing, I saw it, actually, the whole segment on Stormy Daniels. I mean, on a pretty busy news day. But whatever. It's all good. Hey, let's go. Let's take some phone calls. 1-800-848-9222 on the Bernie and Sid Show. Sidney is out for his Day of Atonement. Lashana Tova, happy, easy, fast, I should say, to all of these people. And we talked to a lot of people today. Talked to Anthony Scaramucci, Congressman Peter King. We talked to Rich Lowry. We talked to Cuba Gooding Jr. And by the way, it's Cuba, not Cuba.
Yes. Matt. Yep, I got that.
And he was cool, very cool.
Oh, he was awesome. Cool. Lots of energy and, you know.
He seemed like a nice, cool dude, what he seemed like.
And, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what his reputation is, but... He was all right with me. He was my homeboy from the BX.
That's
who knew?
Right. Yeah, another BX guy.
Let us go to let's go to Dave from Yonkers. Dave, you're on the Bernie and Sid Show. Good morning to you, Dave.
Good morning, Bernie. That was a great segue. I appreciate that.
Why certainly. Hey, is Bert and Ernie gay or what?
No. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let the liberal Democrats take my childhood away. Bert and Ernie are really good friends.
That's okay. All. Right. Why assign sexuality to
exactly,
to a couple of freaking cartoon kids characters? I mean, what's the point of that? Just let
I agree.
Leave it alone.
I agree with you. You know, if you remember, Bernie, that's the first
Dave,
song.
That, Dave,
that most, yes.
Are you gay?
No.
I'm just kidding.
Gotcha. That was one of the first songs that any of us heard as children, the Rubber Ducky song from Ernie. So I'd appreciate it if they didn't slander him.
Right.
Anyway, the reason for my call is I got invited to do a podcast last night, and I did. And the topic was the state of radio, terrestrial or streaming like Sirius or podcast. The topic was, radio today and what do people think what's going to happen to radio in the future? And the question that was posed to me was, do I think that terrestrial radio will ever go away? And I immediately said, absolutely not. And I just wanted to get your take on that, Bernie.
I don't think so, no, because it's free, and anything free will always be around. I mean, satellite radio is cool, and I like it a lot. I found this new station on satellite radio. In addition to 1940s big band music, they have a station on Channel 49 called Soul Town, and I like that. But still, I listen to FM. All the time, FM, CBS, all the rock and roll stations, and even 105.1. You know what it is. I listen to all
Bernie,
that stuff.
Bernie.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I didn't know if you were still there. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that Rose Castellano from Pelham Bay says hello.
Well, I don't remember who that is, but you say hello right back to her.
Okay, no problem.
Dave from my former, I used to live in Yonkers, so we're homeboys. Thank you, Dave, for the call. Let's go to Kenny from Long Beach, where I live now, actually, or thereabouts. Kenny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bernie. I'm on the West End right now.
On the West End. Okay, on Beach Street.
Yes, that's exactly where I'm traveling.
Beautiful day. Beautiful day today, right?
Yes, it is, man. Nice end to the summer.
I'm jealous, but go ahead, man.
What I wanted to say is that I believe that Trump is doing to the left and what Reagan did to the Soviet Union. He's dismantling them. He's exposing the fake news. He's not giving in to what they say like the feckless Republicans usually do.
That's right.
And little by little, he's peeling everything and everybody's seeing what goes on.
I think you're right, Kenny. I think he's, and that's what has them so acting like children. Why they're so frustrated and they pulled a stunts like this, this woman holding on to this information and then releasing it after the hearings are over, even though they knew about it before, and a million other things. Listen, we're living in a time of peace and prosperity that rivals the 1920s, that rivals the 1950s. I know we had the Korean War, that aside. That rivals the 1990s, and that's all that matters. That's the bottom line. Listen, he's a little erratic sometimes. He says and does things not conventional, not traditional. But guess what? We had conventional, traditional guys. We had war heroes. And the public said no. We had John McCain. He ran for president. They turned him into a racist and an old man. And the public said no. And then you had Mitt Romney, who was just like he would have been the perfect president, a businessman, a gentleman, all this stuff. The public said no. No. And they turned him into a racist as well. He's a racist, and, you know, he hates women. Look, he had binders full of women. So no matter what, you just couldn't win. You can't win. So you have this crazy guy that comes in from Queens, and he's crazy like a fox. I mean, I'm not trying to be disparaging at all. But he is, he's different, and he's flipped the tables, and it's working, and it's killing them. It is absolutely killing them. Again, peace and prosperity. It's the economy, stupid, right, James Carville? And it doesn't matter. Grab him by the P word or whatever. It doesn't matter. He got elected because he did the right thing. He went to the right state. He knew what he was doing. And it's working, and it's killing them. It's absolutely killing them. And I can't say that I don't like it. I mean, I like peace and prosperity, don't you? I think we should all just relax and enjoy this peace and prosperity while it lasts, because it ain't going to last. We're going to be back to some war. We're going to be back to depression, recession, whatever, at some point. And we're going to be saying, why were we so pissed off back in 2018? What, because a guy, you know, he was rude? Because the president was rude? Is that why? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. People just have to relax. Take it easy. We have a midterms coming up. Go out and vote. Express your opinion there, that way. And then, believe it or not, he was elected 2 years ago with this president. If you hate him, you got another 2 years, it's going to fly by, and you get to do it again. That's the way the system works. Anything else is just, all this foot stomping and all this nonsense. I mean, I can't take it anymore. That's why we don't talk much about it on the show any longer. But I mean, it's just too much. It's just overwhelming. But me... Yeah, he's exposing the left and the media and all that stuff, and I can't say that I'm not happy. I can't say that. I'm very happy on this very, very happy Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Lashana Tova, easy fast to all my Jewish brethren on the Bernie and Sid Show. I'm coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.